generation has witnessed a few shifts in the patterns of how we engage with spirituality. There aren't any stats, but from my personal observation, we're probably the generation that has, at the very least, the most number of people leaving the church, or at least declaring themselves not to be Christian anymore. And from around 2010 or so, with the rise of social media, of course, we also saw the emergence of people publicly proclaiming themselves to be isangom. While healers like Gogo Moyo and Nokulinda Mkhize, who we know as Noksangoma, started online channels where they not only spoke openly about their beliefs and practices, but they also gave advice from an African spiritual perspective, there was then a wave of interest in how this belief system functioned. At first, the interest was around simple things like how to pahla, how to use candles and ancestral cloths. Then it moved to dream interpretations and callings. Around 2015, there was a huge surge in people publicly expressing their acceptance of their calling and their initiation to become isangom. So much so that mainstream media picked up on this massive online interest in ubungom. Then came the TV shows. At first, the shows seemed well-intentioned, and many of them tried to educate viewers on how to engage with African spirituality, especially from a cultural and practical perspective. But these well-intentioned shows were not cutting it in terms of ratings and numbers when it comes to pop culture. Then TV producers resorted to shock and awe. In the process, they went far beyond being insightful. Soon, the shows just got darker and darker, with really no regard for what is meant to be secret or even sacred. There's really a deep irony in how African spirituality, in the hands of some black TV producers, regained its reputation as something dark and demonic and something that does not belong in society, something that can't be trusted. Over time, less and less people spoke openly about their callings, their initiation, or even their practice. I think a lot of people just didn't want to be associated with the scandalous characters that they were seeing on reality TV. Online, there were fewer images of candles or ancestral cloths. People were still going to Indwaso, but many of them simply didn't want to talk about it. In recent years, however, a different kind of imagery has emerged. Many of those who had gone into Indwaso to become healers were now forming their own churches. Churches that were premised on somehow combining ubungoma and certain Christian practices. Now, African indigenous churches are not new, not by any stretch of the imagination. They have been around for at least a century, but this new generation of churches are coming about into a complex time in our society, economically, socially, politically, and especially spiritually. In this series, I am going to delve into the world of healers who start churches. I want to learn as much as I can about them in terms of how they come about, what actually happens in those churches, and what they mean to those who have been entrusted with being their custodian, and exactly how they balance African spirituality and Christianity. I think I have to add a disclaimer on this series. Firstly, I have never attended these kinds of churches. Maybe I think once, many years ago. So I know very little about them. And because of that, I have no idea what is actually going to happen or how these episodes are going to unfold. For those of you who may not know, the work that I did before podcast was photo documentary. What you learn through documentary work is not to let your personal view go ahead of you. Allow yourself to be in a space that may be unfamiliar to you without needing to make judgment calls on everything that you encounter, because in all likelihood, you're going to come across things that you may not necessarily agree with. Another thing that I need to emphasize for me and you is that we are going into spiritually charged spaces. Be mindful of yourself, of the people in those spaces. Remember, it's not about you. If you find certain things that resonate with you, remember, it's not for you. If you find certain things that repel you, it's not for you. Should you feel drawn to certain things, don't automatically want to absorb them into your life. Ask for guidance. Make sure that things are not resonating or repelling solely from an intellectual perspective. Listen to what it's truly saying to you on your inside. With that out of the way, we are in Deep Sweat and we are visiting an interchurch gathering that is hosted by Lehaila Khanya Apostolic Church on Saturday morning. And I'm going to be speaking to the founder of Lehaila Khanya, Carol Mutulu. But I'm actually not going to be speaking to her today. In fact, I've never really met her in person, just over messages. I'm going to speak to her next week. So today, me and you are just going to be visitors in an apostolic church. So exciting! So, the event is happening at a community hall in Deep Sloot. And most people here are dressed in all white, and here I am dressed in all black. Yeah. I eventually made my way into the church and I linked up with an OG that I met there who shared with me why he believes that church is important. The service today is combined with four other churches that came with their own pastors who all happen to be men. This is interesting because there are probably over 200 people in attendance, and I think there are less than 10 men in the whole crowd. After a brief opening, the service started, and it started with, I don't know what to call it, but in my hood we call it this come around. It's the drum circle where people shuffle in a circular train around the drum, and I think it is officially my favorite part of the service. So when the guest preachers take to the floor, the ones that brought their own congregations, when they get onto the floor, they are immediately surrounded by their church members and they preach from the center of the circle. The sermons are almost equal mix of preaching and drum singing.
Yes, I just want to watch.
Baptist preacher does more prophesying than preaching. He walks the floor and shares prophetic messages with specific members of the congregation. I don't know if this is a normal part of every weekly church, if it's just for this event. And I'm trying hard not to make eye contact. When the pastors were done, then came time for the main event, which is Carol Mutolo herself. When she takes the podium, there is a definite shift in the energy in the room. She has a commanding presence. It contradicts the fact that she looks so young. As she preaches, you see a switch in her demeanor, in her posture. Her voice becomes almost otherworldly, a deep, gravelly tone of someone old and ancient. The instruction now is to get rid of all the chairs, and the whole crowd creates one giant circle. The drumming, the singing, and intense drum circle leads many people to fall into a trance, and Carol attends to many of them herself with her team. It all ends in a solemn and somber prayer with everyone on their knees. Okay, so that was intense. This was my first time in this kind of church. Hey, the drums were loud. I could still feel my body vibrating on the inside. Overall, there are similarities to the church that I grew up in, but there are also distinct differences. And more than anything, it is the energy. There is a raw spiritual energy here I can't say I have really experienced in a church service. And it will take time for me to process the experience. Next week, I'll be visiting Carol's own church, and I'll also sit down with her so that she can share her story with us.
I'm searching for life again. I'm searching for a new beginning. I'm searching for real again. I'm searching for love that never ends. Rain falling off like pain, like the sun.
So it's Sunday morning. I just arrived at Carol Motolo's home, and I got a beautiful welcoming by Osisimo, who works with Carol in the church. Meeting Carol in person is such a contrast.
No, I'm good, thank you. I'm good.
From the powerful preacher I saw on stage last week, in person she is extremely soft-spoken and surprisingly shy. I started by asking her if she has a job outside of the church.
That I do. I have a catering company. So no, this is not the thing that I do.
So it's we have a wine
brand.
Wine brand. What is
La Flow Winery?
Okay.
It's rum and gin.
Okay.
And then we have a catering company. It's in Bloom. A cleaning company.
Okay.
I think we all do rum and gin.
So with La Flow, we've got 6 flavors. We've got coffee pinotage, Merlot, Cab Sav Rosé, Chardonnay, and sweet white.
Okay.
So we've got 6 breads. Then we have the rum and the
cheese. That is so unexpected. I did not see that coming.
Why?
Misperceptions.
Yeah, let's just say I don't really knowing, like, no people knowing what I do. So, okay. Yeah.
So you deliberately keep these worlds apart?
Yes.
Why?
Because one needs to build a legacy for their kids. Aside that, certain people tend to not support a business if they know the face. Because then the entire brand then revolves around you and their hatred. They don't give the brand a chance to prove itself. So to avoid such things.
So you are deliberately keeping your face away from your businesses.
Sort of. But somehow people end up knowing it's me. I'm trying, but somehow miraculously. People end up finding out that I'm part of the brand, and then sometimes it helps me more because then you get more customers because they are knowledgeable of who is behind the brand.
And brands being what they are, they want to trust the brand.
Yeah.
Okay.
They want to trust the face behind the brand, and sometimes it's your worst nightmare. People don't give you a chance as a brand because of whatever perceptions they have of you from behind the phone.
Okay.
And then they sabotage you.
You sound like you're talking from experience.
Yes. Yes.
So these are things that have happened.
Yes, these are things that have happened. I used to have a magazine. So I'm from Lesotho. I'm
originally Lesotho. You were born.
I'm originally born and bred in Lesotho. So I used to have a magazine called Virtue Magazine. But then we also had 21C Virtue, which was a PR company. Mm-hmm. And we worked a lot. We even did some jobs for the government. Mm-hmm. But then you find that because the name Carol is attached to the company, people sabotage that. Mm. So you don't get a job because you don't qualify. You get the job because of who is part of the company, because of issues you might personally have with me. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, no, we need to revisit and have people meet everybody except the brains behind the company. Mm-hmm.
So you've had to pull back.
Yes. And it's not a cute thing because I'm a very creative person. Mm. So having to assign people in a job and then they do the opposite of what you want.
because you sound like you are very well knowledgeable in marketing and branding.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm. I am. And I think it's also my creativity. I see things in my head before they come to life. So I usually prefer to capture them the way I see them. Mm. And then I can't be there because of who I am or the gift that I carry, because somebody doesn't believe you must be ancestrally gifted. And then when are they believe in this? And it creates chaos, but it's part of who you are, I guess.
You sound like you are 58 years old and you've been in the industry for 80 years.
I am, maybe.
How old are you?
I am very old. You can never ask a lady that. I'll leave it there. Thank you.
So, then you when did you move from Lesotho?
I've always been between SA and Lesotho. So my mother got married this side.
Okay.
So I've been between the two countries my entire life.
Okay.
And then I think when I was a teenager, what's grade 8?
Standard
6. Yes, when I was doing Form 1. It's Form 1.
Now I know. If you're interested in 6, okay.
So, yeah, when I went with us, it's Form 1. Okay. You know, with the Southern Zim, yes. Botswana, Lesotho. Yes, yes. It's Form 1. When I went to Form 1, secondary school, that's when I moved permanently this side.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And when did the church start?
It's always been the. My initial question was, what's your understanding of Ndwaso?
Okay.
So where I'm from, my grandfather was Reverend go an Anglican church, but go Haye would have church as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he did one church in the morning or in the afternoon, which is the second service. And then the other church, the Anglican church, more like next to a mountain. So when you look down in the middle of the village, it's my grandfather's house. So you can literally see the person, whether you're up here or down there. So my grandfather, after the church service, he would look down and there would be people waiting for him down there. So with me, there has always been church my entire life. Two sides of church. Then I went to a Catholic school.
Okay.
And with all these churches, for some reason, I've always been forced to be part of the services. So at boarding school, I'd be forced to lead an afternoon prayer, even when I didn't want. I would be forced to pray. I would be forced to handle certain things that had to do with church. And then at home, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So now, when he was done with the Anglican church, he would hold another service down here. Then you find random people that would come every single day and be like, we are sent to come and stay here so that you can help us.
They come to you?
They come to my grandfather.
Okay.
And then for some reason, some people, when they walk in, he would call me from wherever, even if I was playing, would call me and be like, go bring a glass of water and this person is sent to you.
Okay.
And
so that's your client.
I would know what to do. And he would teach me stuff. He'd teach me, and I wouldn't understand, why is this person teaching me stuff?
But he's teaching you from a Christian perspective.
Because with me, I'd always see stuff inside the Bible. I think it was from a Christian perspective.
Okay.
And then that happened. Then just before he died, I started seeing his death and would have very deep conversations with him. And after he died, I just became such a rebellious child, hey? I became extremely rebellious.
Did you know why you were being rebellious?
I knew, but I think I also didn't want to admit that that was the path that I was meant to walk on. Because according to me, moya wa soga, you don't have the freedom to be yourself. It's sort of your entire dreams and your entire perception of who you'd love to be takes, you know, a back step. Now you have to attend to everybody but yourself. So I didn't want that.
What was that perception based on?
Based on what I saw my grandfather went go through and my uncles. Like everything moya ya soga.
Like what were you seeing that for you?
It's just having people in your space as you not having the free. Do you know how intense it is seeing a person go into a trance and they have no control of what they say, what their body does, you know, who they become after?
This being your grandfather.
Yes.
Okay.
And not having the freedom to just live in your life by, like, in your house by yourself without a person coming in and seeking help from you. Mm. It's a lot. You want to be there for your family. You want to chase your dreams. But then there's everybody that depends on you. And it's as if you're not allowed to make mistakes. Because the moment you make mistakes, everybody judges you like you're not human. And you're not learning.
And they judge your gift.
And they judge your gift. So I didn't want that. And with my uncles, I saw that they needed to be part of the church, and they didn't do that. And the moment they didn't do that, their things closed.
Really?
Their marriages fell apart. No, I didn't want that. I wanted nothing to do with that. Then I saw my mother's business fall apart because she genuinely didn't want anything to do with this gift.
What made you think that the two were connected?
I would always see.
Is it?
I think the sad thing about me is I would hear people's thoughts. I would hear people's fears. And I would have dreams, or I'd be sitting by and a person somehow randomly starts speaking. And I remember when I was in standard 7 during my exam. So our results came out through the newspaper. And somebody came and sat next to me, and I ended up responding physically.
Hmm.
And I remember the invigilator asking, what? I said, nothing. Because of what this person was saying. And with me, I physically responded. And they just said, anybody? I said, no, nothing.
So, did you know what was happening?
I knew. Like, I've always been aware. That's why, for me, it's so strange when a person says, when did you realize you were gifted? Mm-hmm. I've always known. I've always lived this. I've always been seeing, hearing, seeing people die, knowing people when people are going to die, knowing when something is going to go wrong. But I didn't want to articulate it. Also, with me, I had a lot of grown healers. Mm-hmm. Somehow like me. Even the ones that were regarded... by lawyer or witches or some stuff, they had this found connection with me and they respected me so much. So I always asking myself, why does this person who's feared by the entire community, so respectful when it comes to me, so attentive and so nice, the complete opposite of what the rest of the community is saying.
What conclusion did you come to?
Well, I just felt that it was nice that they were nice to me. And I thought I had some sort of power. I was like, yeah, he's feared, but he's so nice to me. Mm-hmm. Then there's some level of respect that I carry, mm-hmm. yeah, that mm-hmm. other people don't have.
And so this is happening as you are learning this gift.
As I'm learning this gift. Church. Yes. I think for me, learning was every day. It wasn't a practical thing. It wasn't something that I had to go somewhere. And when my mother says, it says, with my great-grandmother's, when she was pregnant, she then said, in as much as I know everybody's gifted in this family, mm-hmm. if there's someone that will do you guys justice, is the one that is coming. Mm-hmm. So don't ask me. Don't ask my siblings. Give the responsibility to this one that is coming. She will do it wholeheartedly. And I'm like, what trust did you have that I will oblige to the call? Mm-hmm. Says, I don't know, but I just had this feeling that whoever I'm carrying or whoever is coming, she will do the gift exceptionally well. And somehow I was my grandfather's favorite.
Didn't that expectation cause tension?
I don't.
Like the idea that it almost was decided for you?
It did, because for some years, my mother and I weren't even speaking because of my own rebellious ways. But also the things that I kept seeing in my dreams.
Okay.
The past conversations that I don't think I was even aware that were happening. But you know when it's like your soul travels to another world and you can hear past conversations and you're trying to piece together the puzzle, but the people that have answers don't come. Now you must go back to where you saw the stuff and you're like, but you had to die. Why couldn't you come and tell me this when you were still alive? I think it caused a lot of chaos between my mother. And I was also trying to figure out myself as a young woman. And I was like, why does this have to happen now?
And then in the process of understanding your gifts mm-hmm. and... from what I've read in your bio, that then there was a point where you ran away from home.
Yes.
I want to understand that moment when you said, this is it, I can't be here anymore. Like, Gatama.
Okay, I felt like my dreams were so big that the space I was in or the people I was surrounded by and the expectations everybody had around me, I couldn't breathe. You know, like
your dreams
feel like
being your goals.
My goals, okay. Like things that I wanted to achieve, the type of life that I wanted to live. It was just not possible with everybody's expectations and these things that I keep seeing in my dreams and these people that keep saying I must help them and I don't want to open that door. And I was just like, enough is enough. I need to go somewhere where I can be a normal human being. So let me cut contact with everybody. Let me leave.
Where were you going?
So funny. I left home and I went to Cape Town. I stayed in Cape Town.
Evan, we're not kind of running away. I got no running. Who runs away to Cape Town? We run away to your grandmother's house.
No,
you run away to Cape Town.
I left and I went to Cape Town, and I didn't know anybody. And for some reason, you know, when they say God always has your back, I met this girl from Lesotho, and I stayed with her. Then, you know, like when you feel like the one thing that you're running away from follows you, and then I went back home. And when I got home, I remember when I got home, the one old man that was so feared in that community passed. So my grandfather's house is next to the road. He passed by the road and he asked to see me. And he was such an old man, but the level of respect when he spoke to me that day, it was as if he was speaking to someone, not me. And he called me just next to the gate. And when I came closer, he knelt down and he went into a trance. And this old man spoke. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, the road that you've been shown, go on it. And I was like, but I don't know where that place is. He says, go and get taxis from one place to another. And you'll get there. You'll find that old man that you were being shown in your dreams. And I was like, why don't I get lost? He's like, no. And then he told me what to do to get him out of a trance. And I did that. And when that old man came back to himself, he was so helpless. But the vulnerability.
So it was like he was in a trance.
No, he went into a trance. Yeah. Like he was so helpless and vulnerable. And to get him out of a trance, I had to ask this person that was speaking through him, how do I help this one come back? And then he told me what to do, and I did that, and he came back to being himself. But even after he sort of came back to being himself, those few moments of him not being able to do anything and just sitting there and wondering what happened, and I had to narrate in front of this little girl, and I had to narrate that, and I was like, if you don't do it, everything is going to fall apart. And I'm like, it's already falling apart. I feel like I'm drowning. And I was like, please go and do it. Funny thing, the next day my mother took me to this other newborn again church. And when we got there, the priest prayed for everybody except me. And then he told my mother, and he said, this child is going to be so huge. And I was like, huge? I was like, yeah, go do what you're shown in your dreams. And in my head, I'm like, dude, you just told people that my demo are not people to follow. So how are you telling me to go and do what I was shown? And it's like, if I put my hand on you, I'm going to lose everything
worked
hard to do. So you guys leave. And I prayed and I left. And then I went and I met this guy that could see, but he couldn't see. He did not have the physical ability to see.
He was blind.
He was blind, but he had the spiritual ability to see. And I sat there. When I went out of his yard that day, I couldn't walk. But when I went into his yard, I could walk.
So it was pain in your legs?
No, I couldn't feel my legs. And then, so I said, I stayed with him. And the next morning, around 3 a.m, he was like, let's go to the water. Now imagine walking somewhere with someone that can't see at around that time. Do you see how it gives you a side to do? This person knows the way, but they can't see. And it's 8 hours of the morning. So we went to the water, and in my head, I'm going inside the water with this person. No, he stood somewhere very far from the water, and he said, I'm told to, our journey ends here. So from where I am, I was told to pray for you like it's your last day on earth. I should not cease praying until you're back. So the rest of the going in the water, you have to go by yourself. And I was like, yeah, ne? Go to Vele Vele, you want to. You are like, yo! Like, Vele Vele, this, I must make peace with the fact that I might not make it back. And then I went. For some reason, I had so much bravery. I had so much faith that I was going to come back. There was just something in me that believed that nothing was going to happen. And I went, I prayed, I went into the water. And I still remember the waterfall. And where I stood in the middle of a waterfall. And a voice came and said, go a bit deeper. I went deeper, and I went deeper, and I went deeper, and I went deeper. You know when a waterfall covers you? And then I prayed. And there was something that said, don't open your eyes. I kept praying and I kept praying continuously, so much that I couldn't even feel myself. But there's another one that said, open your eyes. Believe me, to this day, I would never ever open my eyes in the middle of prayer again. And I opened my eyes and I saw things I should never ever would like to see my entire life. Closed my eyes and all I remember saying was, God, if I can make it out of this river. I promise I will go do what I need to do.
Do you think the thing you saw was you breaking some kind of rule and opening your eyes, or was it you were supposed to see those things?
Because of how they surrounded me, I think I was meant to see.
Okay.
But my seeing was, it was sort of an awakening, but another completion of something, but also letting go of something else.
Okay. But so, no one has explained any of this to you.
I think they have. I think they have in their own way. I think they have.
Okay.
I think they
have. I mean, like at the time.
At the time, no one I'm inside the water. I'm scared for my life. Especially because those things, I fear them with everything.
Can you swim,
I think that day I could not even swim. Like, you know when your legs lock? Literally, they locked. And your lips can't say what is in your mind. And your heart feels like it's closing in, like the way it's pumping, it's as if you can't breathe. But then you need to make sure that this thing doesn't touch you. And I remember closing my eyes and in my head, I was just like, let me just get out of here, please. I promise I will do everything I need to do. I just promise I will. And I opened one eye, there was nothing.
Gone.
I did not even say amen.
Okay.
I did not even say amen. I did not get dressed. Like, I just took what was on the floor and went to the old man. When I got there, he's like, you saw what you needed to see. I said, yeah. I was like, don't tell me. We'll talk at home. So we went back home. And when we got there, he was like, please rest because you feel very heavy. Believe me, I could not fall asleep. I just kept thinking of the things that I saw inside water. And I was like, what if I carried them back? But for some reason, I slept. And when I slept, I dreamt of my grandfather saying, now you're going to be okay. You literally, okay. Now he will teach you just a few more things. And then you go home. And then that happened and I went home.
Thank you.
things started falling into place. Now the church that I had left behind, that the owner had left behind.
Your grandfather.
My grandfather had left behind. People started fighting for it. And I was like, I can't. These people have been doing this for such a long time. I have just found myself. I feel like myself again. Mm. Why do I have to fight for a church? And it continued so much that it almost cost me my life. And I remember I sat down and said, if this is what you guys brought me here for,
this is not it.
It's not happening. Rather, you come back and deal with it. No, I'm not doing it. You know, when you can't even move around without fearing on whether you'll come back alive or not, that's when you realize that maybe this is not worth it. So I sat down, I sat everybody down. I sat my grandmother down, I sat my mother down. I said, I'm not doing it. If it cost me my life, so be it. And they kept quiet. For some reason, they kept quiet and they didn't do anything. They didn't react to me saying I'm no longer doing church. People would come on Sundays and I'd be like, there's no church. And then I made an executive decision to leave, get out of Lesotho. And I left Lesotho. And it's so funny that the week that I made that decision, it's the week that I met my ex. And I was like, I want to try something in Joburg. And he was like, let's go. And then I left.
So you left with him?
I left with him. Tamale
Mushima. See?
And I left with him. And he, so funny that he introduced me to his brother's siblings. He was like, I want to do right by that woman. I don't want her to come and stay with me. Mm-hmm. I want to do right by her. And he did, Shem. He did. He did right by me.
As in, he didn't force to stay with you?
No, he didn't force to stay with me, but he took an executive decision to make me a wife.
How does that work?
Our dating suddenly went from not getting to know each other to being married.
Okay. Officially?
Officially.
Like signing?
No, he went and paid lobola. Okay. I've always been avoiding Hussein. For my own reasons.
Because we'll you don't want to change your surname.
Yeah.
I figured. Okay.
Aside not changing my surname, I've got my own reasons.
Okay. All right.
Imagine something doesn't work out. Now you have to change. Everything. And No. Not my forte. But then he did right by me and life happened and my seeing things was the end of us. My ability to see and to dream was the end of us. And it's so funny that I always say this. Him and I being apart wasn't because of me and him.
Okay.
It was because of extended family.
Okay.
So my ability to dream, my ability to hear conversations that I have no interest hearing cost us the relationship. And because of how he had grown up, I had to remove myself from the space.
Okay.
He didn't have parents. His mother died when they were young. They practically raised themselves as siblings. And if your sister gets in your relationship, instead of you removing your sister from your life, I removed myself. So I became the sacrificial lamb and was like, I'm not going to ruin what you guys build together. I'm going to remove myself.
Were you ever conflicted? Like, did you ever have a moment where it was like, if you could choose between him and the gift, you would choose him? Did you ever have that kind of...
I've never, despite how the gift has frustrated me, I've never had a moment where I wanted to sacrifice the gift. And believe me, it frustrates one every single day. But for some reason, I always choose the gift. Always.
Did the relationship affect it in some way? Like, besides it sort of having to choose it, because my understanding is that in some instances, you know, you're a person, you're a woman, you're a human being, mm-hmm. and you want to be a human being, and but the gift keeps coming in the way.
It did not, hey? Mm-hmm. I think that is one simple, easygoing relationship I've ever had in my entire life. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't fault it.
Okay.
You know, there are things that you'd be like, I played this part, or I did this, or this person did this. That was one flawless relationship I've ever had. The only thing was, I can't have you choose between me and somebody that protected you your entire life. And for me, when I left, I think my firstborn was 6 months. When I left, I remember Kipahlile, and I prayed and I said, God, I need this person to understand that when I leave, I'm not stopping him from being a father. But I also don't want to break what has carried and protected him.
You wanted his family to stay intact.
Yeah. I think the loss of my grandfather made me treasure family more than anything. I lost my grandfather, then I lost my uncles, the most important men in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood the emptiness it left. Nobody could ever be able to close that gap. And I didn't want, and I for me, it was like, if you grew up without a mother and your sister became the mother you needed, and I personally grew up around my uncles and my grandfather, and they died, and I've never been the same since they did. If I were to ask you to choose between me and this person, you'd never be happy. You'd always be longing to have that person here. You'd eventually resent me.
Sure. That was a heavy decision on your part.
Yeah, it was. But I think, I don't know if it was the best thing that I ever did for him, but because everybody says he was never the same since I left. So maybe it was the best thing, but also the worst thing for him.
Sure. So in that time, where is work and where is the church?
I closed the church because everybody was fighting me. And for some reason, people would find, see, every Sunday, I'd always meet people that want me to pray for them. And I remember I'd always have my beads in my handbag. I didn't want my beads on me. I don't want people knowing.
Really?
So I'd always have them in my handbag. Then when I got sick, one of my grandmothers came and said I should do a red string. So with the red string, it was easy because people thought it was fashionable or some sort. So I'd always have it on my hand, and the beads would be in the handbag everywhere. But somehow, every Sunday, if I left the house, I'd find somebody that wants me to pray for them. And I'd be like, okay, if this is the way the church is heading, then so be it. But the rest of my other stuff, my business, they were moving, flowing so nicely. My mother's life was flowing so nicely. I was like, okay, then we are cruising nicely. Everybody is happy wherever they are.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So everything was flowing how it's meant to flow. Until one day, I'm sleeping. It's a Sunday. I'm sleeping. Kids are grooving for that matter.
Hey.
Yeah.
Bad timing.
You know. I got back around Boma 4. So immediately I wake up, auntie and my son wake me up. Mama, mama, shut up. And I was like, if I could just sleep for
2 minutes. 2 minutes.
I was like, nya, 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 and I will definitely come and take you out. It's like, okay. Then I close my eyes. I have a dream. The entire house has bent down. But this house that has bent down, it's the one I'm in, but it's inside water. Now, how does the house bend down, but it's inside water, and it's still intact inside water? I knew exactly what it meant. And I woke up. I remember I called my grandmother, and my grandmother laughed at me. And she's like, I will pray about it. And I was like, okay. Now I'm concerned, like, we are so, so okay with our lives. Why do you guys need to come back right now? I want to go out, but then I suddenly get so blocked, my asthma acts up. But it's so sunny, and that was the thing. There's no clouds, there's nothing. Why can't I breathe? I sit down and I ask auntie to keep my son busy. Then I go into a room, I have tent, a prayer room. Go in there and I fall asleep. As I fall asleep, my grandfather, my grandmother, my grand, they all come and they like, it's not happening, darling. It's not happening. You are not having the freedom. Guys, and then was we were cruising nicely. Like, no. You are going to do this. So I tried to be stubborn in the dream. Then I, for some reason, you know when you're between being awake and asleep? So I try to move my feet so that I can get out of the space I'm in. My feet are not moving. I go back into this mood. One of my grandmothers holds my feet and is like, do you want to not walk again? My memory rushed to the day I was at that old man's yard and I could not walk. And I saw my life flash before my eyes and I was like, I don't want to have that feeling that I felt that day. And I was like, I understand. I will do. And then I went outside. As I went outside, there's a car passing. It almost hits somebody. But it's, you know, like when you have that instant instinct to rush and pull somebody out. Yeah, I did that. And immediately the car passed. And the person looked up and said, so, and a voice says, do you see that wherever you go, you keep making people get in trouble because you don't want to accept who you are?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is not going to happen. But what does this have to do with me? This person was almost hit by a car. So why nagikinamo? And then I went and I sat down with my son. He had what he needed to do. But he was tired for that day. The energy was just so heavy. Then we went home. When we got home, my feet became so hot. You know, as if fire is coming out of your feet. I became so hot and I took ice, poured, they were not getting better. And then I decided to walk out my entire body inside the ice and water. And then all the visions came through. Then the voice said, I'm gonna send somebody your way tomorrow. You know exactly, you've been taught this. But don't do things the way you were taught. Do things the way the situation requires you to do at that moment. I'm like, nah, give it to my son. I hate initiation, libungaka, libu profita. Like, I don't want that. Listen. And then this verse said, no, who said kilitwasan? Tusamoto. I was like, okay, believe me, that day there's a child that came. She came and immediately she stepped in front of me. She went into a trance. And I asked them to record the trance so that when she gets out of the trance, she can be able to see herself. And they did that. And everything that was said there, because I told them, not how I was taught is not how everybody's taught. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what we need from you. We need you to do 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. I was like, okay, sure. Then we're going to do it that way. And then the next day, another person was sent. And I'm like, wasn't it one person, guys? So now I'm living in a complex. Life is okay. Business is doing well. Like, I'm okay. Then I get a message. I used to have another construction company. The person that I had a construction company with, for some reason, that message showed me that all the funds were cleared. Funds cleared. Okay. And it's so funny that it was literally 10 days before month end.
You remember?
Yeah. I'll never want to be dramatized like that in my life. So now I'm looking at the message. I go in the banking app. I'm locked out. I'm looking at this message. There's no money. So messages kept coming in and I didn't attend to them because I was focusing on a person in a trance. And I look, the directorship has changed, like everything.
You've been kicked out of the company.
So I sit. I was so calm for some reason. But I'm trying to make sense of what the hell is happening. And I try and log in. I call people. I call this person's wife. This person's wife then says to me her exact answer. I don't want to get involved in you guys' business. And I said, okay. Then I was like, is everything paid for on my end? Yes, it's paid for. I call my mother and I tell my mother, this is what is happening. This is what I'm finding. My mom says, come down. Give me all the login details. Let me try from my end. Maybe you're not locked out. It's just panic and everything. My mother tries. Nothing works out. And then she says, what happened the past few days? I tell her. She says, you people are still there. That house you dreamt of burning down inside water. That is what is happening. Everything is burning down.
In this very moment.
In this very moment. Things that would take years to happen happened so quick in a space of hours. Things that were built for years just crashed down literally in moments, in a few hours, in a few seconds. I think to this day, I still don't understand how I was able to make peace with that entire incident. And I made peace and I went and I rented a place. But the day that I went to look for a place, there's a guy that passed me by when I was standing outside after I viewed a place. I didn't know where I was going to get the money. That guy passed me and then he reversed and he was like, why does it look like you're not okay? And I'm like, believe me, where I am, I'm not interested in anyone trying to get to know me or unshayla. Like, just please, just leave me alone. I was like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm waiting for a cab. I'm going somewhere. And then he was like, can I please drop you? I said, as long as you're not going to try and hit on me, where I am, that's not the conversation I want to have. And we went and we started talking, just normal things. And then he was like, what's your name? I told him. He was like, I had a dream of somebody with a name like yours. And
yeah.
I was like, you had a dream? He was like, yeah. And then he said, can I please come and see you later? And I was like, I still stand by what I said. At this phase that I've been in now, and I honestly have nothing in me to get to know anybody, to come and be nice or be friends with somebody. Like, no, please trust me. You have something you need to do for me. And I was like, but I'm busy packing. I'm trying. Where you saw me, I was looking for a place. He said, how much is a place? And I told him. And he's like, can you please give me the banking details of that place?
Yo.
And
yo.
I said, why? And he took, this is somebody that just met me. He took those banking details and he paid deposit. And he paid 3 months of the rent in spot. That place, on the spot. And then he said, now, can I please have that appointment? I don't want to share like you. I don't want, but I was told you're going to help me with something, but I need to help you. And then I was like, okay. Later he came, I think around 1, my son was coming from school. They literally arrived in the same time. And I was like, let me just make my son food and I'll attend to you. And I did that. And when he got into the consultation room, he went into a trance. And when he went in a trance, his ancestors asked that I take him to the water. And that's the only thing they require from me. That's and I took him to the water. And we never saw each other again. Then 6 months down the line, I saw his message on my Instagram. Hey, I'm told you need to take me to the water again. And I took him to the water. Now, this is my thing. I didn't want money from him because of what he had done for me, because I felt like that was not enough.
Sure.
So I take him to the water, and when we come back to the water, he forces to go into the space, my new space where I pray. And then he's like, I don't want to go with you. I want to go in alone.
Yeah.
And he goes, he prays in there, and he leaves. After some time when he leaves, I'm like, let me go clean in there. I find a pile of cash.
Yeah.
And to this day, until this year, every time him and I interact, it's the same thing.
Wow. Okay.
Sorry. Sorry. Sorry.
Give me his number.
I should give you his number. I also, you know, some days when I'm broke, I'm like, isn't it time to bring him back?
But you know that you can't do that over your own
account. I can't. I don't even, like, we have never had a consistent conversation until something goes wrong and he says, hi, I need to see you. And he comes and he sees me. And I always refuse his money, but he has found a way of leaving his money. Okay. And then I think the lady that I met the next day, her ancestors then said, she was from Soweto. They said, remember the land we said we need you to start the church? That's where you're going to start the church. For you to help her, she must give you her yard to have church. Then I had church in Soweto.
Your first time opening the church?
The first time opening the church after the chaos of churches being fought for and everything.
And at the time, what were you starting? Did you feel like it was a continuation of your grandfather's church, or did you feel like you're starting something new?
So for me, when they said the church needs to open, I woke up and I was continuing from where everything stopped.
Okay.
And the first service I did, the second service, they said, it's not. This is how you're going to operate the entire service. And it's so funny that the night to the service, what happened in my dreams is exactly what happened physically.
What was the specific instruction? Isn't it the order of things that happened?
The order of things that happened, the name of the church.
The name of the church.
Yes. Then one of my grandmothers came and said, "Kila hela hang." When I woke up, out of all the things that I needed to remember in the dream, I kept saying, I need to tell my mother who to kila hai lachai.
Okay.
So I called my mother, I'm like, one of your grandmothers came and said, kila hai lachai, and this is what must happen. Like, I wasn't worried about forgetting stuff, but that particular name was the one thing that I was like, I cannot not forget it. The other things I know when I get to a place, they come back.
Yeah.
But the name, I must not forget it.
And then where does apostolic come from?
So now, go haine. Now this is where we're going. Remember moya, tlapollo ya moya. Whether ongaka or mupostolo or mzayun. So from my paternal side, kima zayun. From my maternal side, kima apostolo ni mzayun. But bana libungaka. So I couldn't apostolic zayun. So they pushed the apostolic, my maternal.
Okay.
They're the ones my apostolic.
What's the difference? I actually honestly don't know what the difference is between my apostolic and Zion. Like, what's the difference?
There isn't so much difference. But it's like I'm more, yeah, but baby. But the music.
Okay.
The music, the rhythm. Really? It's very different.
So the distinct difference is in the music.
Music.
And the rhythm.
And the
of
movement,
the music.
Yes.
Here's what my mind is telling me, that the rhythm, from my understanding of music, the rhythm creates a particular frequency, creates a particular channel, meaning that, and when you're creating a particular channel, meaning that you guys are accessing different realms.
Yes. But now, music. Through the music.
Okay.
Now, imagine when you have both. You have both the maternal. The maternal is apostolic. There's a rhythm. Now, kaha apostola also, the movement is not the same. The rhythm is not the same. Some are faster, some are slower.
Did you know this before you were formulating your particular way of conducting church?
Now when people were sleeping, I'd be in class. And it's so funny that to this day, it still happens that way. Okay. When everybody's sleeping, I'm in class. And it's, if you were to see the amount of books I write, I wake up in the middle and I write. Like somebody sits here and I practically write. And my mother, it's so funny that my mother laughed at me yesterday. And I was like, I was in class. Like, which other class were you in? I was like, no, this time it wasn't me writing. I was being told to tell you to do this. And she's like, oh, okay. But why me? I'm like, hey, dude, you're the elder. You do it. Okay. So it's that I didn't understand it until they started telling me. And I remember I used to say, like, there's no drama, there's no theatrics. So how do you expect me to head a church with people that have so many emotions? And now, and they're like, it's fine, that's how your grandfather used to also operate, that's how your grandmother used to operate. But my voice will tell you, the way I move will then tell you that I have transformed. I was like, no wonder. But then, Hotara Hamoyawaka is like, when I go into a trance, it's so hard for me. When I go into a trance, I see myself, but I see another version of myself. It's like the other body's watching me, but I know exactly what happened. Other people are not aware of what happens.
Are you seeing it as two different versions of yourself, or is it you watching someone else inhabiting your body?
Two of my bodies. My other body watches the other body go through
but
stuff.
Still
the same person. And it's so funny that the person that will then be speaking within me, there where I am, I'll be seeing them. But now the issue is when they vocalize, the voice comes out of me. It's as if I'm not watching that person. Yeah, I can't explain it. It's as if they push me out, then they go inside my body. But the body is mine. The voice is not mine.
Yeah. So I want to go back to Tabaya Otwasahaha. Mm-hmm. Did you go through...
I went through, you see that old man that I went to?
Yes.
That was my ndwaso.
Okay.
Hence I'm saying, my ndwaso is very different from how everybody's ndwaso is. And that's where I always say, we get to a point where we box more. Yeah? Because we want a repetition of what we have seen previously to happen. But we don't allow what needs to happen in the moment then happen.
Because we feel like we have to follow structure.
Follow structure. And that's not how I work. That's not how the people within me work. And that's what I remember when I first started church. I'd always trend on Twitter because of how I did things.
Really?
TikTok, Twitter! I used to trend because I don't know what happens at church. I don't know what's going to happen when I leave here. It unfolds in its own way. I don't know what scripture I'm going to touch base on. Like, I know nothing. I get told in church. So now they are taught to follow a certain way. I'm not. See where I used to trend. Because I was okay, I can wake up and I'm told to dress this way and I go to church. I'm told and I go to church and I go preach and I would trend. Why is she doing this?
What were people saying? What was the issues that they were saying?
You can't mix the two. Why is my girl show up? Why is that so? That's not me. I can touch a person and a person manifests. I understand that side of me. I can see, you know, you get into a space and mermaids are sent or witches are sent and people think a person is about to go into a trance and it's not a trance. And when I get next to that person, the real person comes out. And then you're like, who is she? And they even ask, who are you? We're here to do this. We're not Zogokai. Why? And you find that I always say, there's a difference between Moya and Mimoya. A lot of kids initiate because of Mimoya, not Moya.
What's the difference?
Mimoya, familiar spirits.
Okay.
Then there's Moya, the actual gift.
Okay.
For instance, there's a child that was once sent in this yard, and you would say that child is gifted, and she is. But the spirit that was operating at that time wasn't the actual gift. It was a familiar spirit.
Mm.
Because when we were praying, you would swear that this person is gifted. Until, as we were praying, my grandfather's voice said, no, open this chapter. And I opened, I touched her away. She didn't think I would touch her. And immediately I touched her, she manifested into what she manifested into. And she was like, the problem of us not being able to access this child is you. You keep praying for them. You keep covering them in prayer. So if you were to willingly grant us this child, then we would give you all the riches you desire.
Mm.
And I was like, but I'm not chasing riches. I've had riches and I've had them taken away from me. And right now I don't desire them.
Was the battle.
And that was the battle. And from that day, everything that you can think of went wrong because I'm refusing this child.
Wrong for you or for the
child? For me and hey, you go through a spiritual battle because you are refusing Imimoya to overtake her. And it's so funny that the person that was inside her or the person that was using or wanted to use her was her own father.
Yeah.
So then you're like, in this space that I'm in, I'm going to break a family if I articulate this. So such things, I then prefer that they are recorded so that you see it for yourself and you don't hear it from me.
As in video?
You see yourself in a trance manifesting and me engaging with this thing in you.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things that people don't see in my socials.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's when I started understanding why they were saying, we don't want you to do what everybody is doing. How to post dollar, this is how they work, that's how they work. We have our own thing that we're doing, and you will do it that way. And for me, it's frustrating, but I love it at the end of the day. I love not knowing what's going to happen. I love not knowing what awaits me when I leave the house and not planning for it. I'm just diving into it as freely as I possibly can. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Let's go to change.
What's there to hold in the light of this moon? My mind keeps searching, but my heart decides. Thoughts can be cruel, they're not mine to own. The space unravels when you let go. What's yours, it ain't mine, that energy goes today. The feather in the fire will blow it home your way. Moon mother, open your arms. Moon mother, this madness has begun. Moon mother, reach for my heart so I can hear.
Okay, so the church is in a community hall in Olivan, just outside Centurion. And when you arrive, you have to hand in your phone. I guess she was serious about not wanting to trend on TikTok. The congregation is smaller than the last time, but the energy is just as raw. The service kicks off again with Skamarant, the drum circle. But this time it's different. Carol conducts it like a choir master. She gives specific instructions about the pace and the flow of the circle. There's something militant about it. It feels like a drill, like she is preparing soldiers for battle. And she emphasizes the importance of everyone falling in line and being in sync with one another. She feels more like a general of an army than a preacher. Carol pays particular attention to the conduct of her team. Her strictness becomes apparent when it is time to read the verse of the day.
You and take your rest in safety. You will lie down with no one to make you afraid, and many will court your favor. But the eyes of the wicked will fail, and escape will elude them. Their hope will become a dying grass, and that is the word of the Lord.
You are all wrong.
Yet if you devote your heart to him and stretch out your hands to him, if you put away the sin that is in your heart, in your hand, and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, then free of fault you will lift up your face. You will stand firm and without fear. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as waters run by. Life will be brighter than noonday, and darkness will become like morning. You will be secure because there is hope. You will look about you and take your rest in safety. You will lie down with no one to make you afraid, and many will court your favor. But the eyes of the wicked will fail, and the escape will elude them. Their hope will become a dying gasp. Yet, if you devote your heart to him and stretch out your hands to him, if you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, then free of fault you will lift up your face. You will stand firm and without fear. You will surely forget. You will stand firm and without fear. You will stand firm and without fear. You will surely forget your trouble.
You will stand less than from the
You will stand firm and without fear. 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 You will surely forget your trouble. You will stand firm and without fear.
Let's stand from the beginning. You will stand firm.
You will stand firm and without fear. 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 You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as waters gone by. Life will be brighter than noonday, and darkness will become like morning. You will be secure because there is hope. You will look about you and take your rest in safety. You will lie down and no one to make you afraid, and many will court your favor. But the eyes of the wicked will fail, and escape will elude them. Their hope will become a dying grass.
As the circle takes shape and she commands her battalion, it occurs to me that at no point during the service did we ever sit down. We have been on our feet for over 3 hours. And what shocks me more is that I barely noticed this. I was so drawn and so enveloped by the whole experience that I forgot to be tired. The drum circle feels like a release. The people have been pushed beyond exhaustion. the emotions are raw, and the trances feel more like a rapture. There's a deep and profound surrendering, a deep level of surrender. You get the sense that people are here for this moment. This is why people come. They come for this cathartic release of pain, of tears, of pent-up angst and anxiety. Carol lays hands in the center of the circle, her voice soft almost to a whisper as she ministers to her people. I am searching for words. These 2 days that I have spent with Carol Mutolo and Lehaila Kanya Apostolic Church have shown me a different dimension of what I thought church is. Right now, today's service is still coursing through my body. I haven't calmed down yet. When I set out on this series, I wanted to understand how healers start churches and why. Today I learned how short-sighted my intentions were. What I will say is that there are so many different dynamics at play here. First, you have Carol herself, a gifted black woman who is leading a church given to her through spirit by her grandfather. Then there is Carol, the black female entrepreneur, the mother, the daughter. And then there is the capitalist patriarchal world in which she exists. What I didn't consider is that church, especially these kind of churches, are defined by their founders, their character, their principles, and their conduct. Carol Mutolo's church is not a feel-good church. It's not built to fill you with warm, fuzzy feelings. Maybe it is, and it just wasn't the case today. Today felt like the church was built to push you past your comfort zone in a blatantly uncomfortable way. I asked her about this.
You engage a lot with, what do you call them?
My members.
Your members. Your members being the team. You engage a lot with them.
With visitors too.
Yes, that, but I also noticed, especially today, that there's a lot of engagement with your team members, not just within, you know,
church,
but in conduct. There was a moment I felt like, this lady's like a general. She must have been in the army in some past life. Because you were very upfront about, okay, this needs to be happening, you need to correct that. Is that something that you take it upon yourself to do? Is that you as a person, this is how you work, like let's say in your companies, in your this, or is that a thing that comes about in that space?
I think it's me, both sides. Mm-hmm. It's me as a person. If I don't know you, I can't push you. Mm-hmm. I can't be your safe space. You understand? If I don't know you, I must know you. Mm-hmm. Not just as a spiritual person that is passing through, but as a human. You're human first. I must know you.
then I must know you as a leader or as a spiritual or as somebody with authority. Mm-hmm. Then I must know the people within you. Do you see?
As in the guides. That
your
the
guides.
Okay.
Then these people then help both of us walk the journey together. But if there is one missing, I will not get to where you need to get.
Hmm.
I will not be able to push you where I need to push you.
Let's talk about this pushing. I was hurt. I was hurt on behalf of people. My heart was sore. Tell me about the pushing. What's the pushing about?
You see, that's the thing. It goes back to the question you asked me.
Hmm.
Me and you need to take a back step.
Mm-hmm.
When it gets to me pushing you, my favoritism of you or my knowledge of who you are, mm-hmm, and your weakness need to take a back step. And my guts and your guts need to come forward. And then I use the very same information that I know,
mm-hmm,
to push the person within you. I must push you through your fears so that they never stop you from getting to a certain point. So me knowing you works to my advantage and to your advantage,
mm-hmm,
but it also works to your ancestors' advantage because their job gets done because now I know your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But none of them know that I know their weaknesses. They find them out on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you tell them to go to therapy, they're not going to go to therapy. Mm-hmm. So I become your therapy. And I deal with your biggest fears are the ones I bring to light. Your vulnerability is the one I bring to light, but not to expose it to a certain degree or to play with it, but to show you that you can be better than. It shouldn't be something that is shielding you from opening up or being better. That's why I said, don't read for me out of your own understanding of the mere fact that you understand that you can read and you know how to read. Command the person within you to come into space and to lead you.
If there is one thing that I gained some insight on in this part, is what an anointing is. You absolutely can't miss Carol Mutulu's gift. You can't miss when you see it manifesting. You can't miss when you see the effect that it has on people. And you also can't miss the fact that many people have found a home in her gift. What would you do if you were given the gift of opening a church? What would you do if you had to become a church, if you had to be the spiritual home of possibly hundreds of people? Where would you draw your strength from? How would you figure out how to construct the church? What the character of the church should be? What would you do if you were entrusted with all of that and you happened to be in the body of one of the most marginalized people in our entire society, where you have multiple odds working against you? Think about that. My name is Vusumthi Ncandi, and this was part one of a three-part series. I would love to thank Carol Mutulu and the family of Lehaila Khanya Apostolic Church. I am deeply grateful for your warm welcoming into your community, into your space, into your home. It has left a profound impact on my spirit, and I will be forever grateful for that. With that said, I wish you light, I wish you courage, and I wish you all the very best on your journey. Makwande.